You are listening to sermons from Bethesda Lutheran Church. This Sunday was June 30th, and Pastor Sarah preached from Proverbs chapter 1.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill, to understand a proverb and to figure the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The word of the Lord. So was anyone scared today when they saw I was preaching? What is she going to make us do today? Nothing really big, although we're going to start the sermon with a few questions, and I promise after said questions are answered, you can just sit there and sleep, okay? So, we are going to begin with, what you learned in Sunday school, or were supposed to learn in Sunday school, but probably forgot, and if you did, that's okay, because I had to look some of this stuff up. Game. So, pretend in front of you is a Bible. Okay? How many books are in the Bible? 66! Awesome. What are the two main parts of the Bible? Old Testament and New Testament. Sometimes the Old Testament is called the Hebrew Bible, just so you know. We could talk about that sometime, the Hebrew Bible. How many books in the New Testament? Nope. New Testament. Oh, see, Diana, she just... All right, everyone but Diana. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. Very good. You guys are awesome. Okay, so the Hebrew Bible begins with 5 books. What are the first 5 books sometimes called? The Torah. What else? Pentateuch. I've heard them called the books of Moses. Although, let me tell you, if you still think they were written by Moses, they were not. I am sorry. They were not written by Moses. In fact, they talk about Moses' death, so really, it just doesn't work, because he was dead and there was still writing. So that doesn't work. Anyway, okay, then after the first 5 books of the Bible, there would be what? 34 left. The majority of those are prophets. They kind of talk about prophets and history and that kind of stuff. Except for kind of about the middle, there's like these 5-7 books that, oh, I forgot my joke. Okay, so, no, this was funny. So the second part is about the prophets, which they talk about some history or where pastors find the names for their children. Okay, which is really true. Okay, and then in the middle of those, there are... 5 to 7 books, whatever, it depends, called the writings, okay? Now, the writings have a little bit of history in them, but they just don't fit into the rest of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. So it's kind of like the hodgepodge, kind of like the junk drawer of the Old Testament, where there are things that we need in there, like secular love songs, or psalms for worship, or narrative history and legends. You know, there's that good stuff in there, but just kind of didn't fit into the category of law and prophets. Now, in addition, there are 3 books called wisdom literature. Okay, are you following me so far? We kind of started big and now we're getting little. Wisdom literature has 3 books in it, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Okay. Ecclesiastes and Job are kind of the sad, depressed wisdom literature, which you read when you're feeling kind of down. It talks about the meaning of life and all thing is vanity and, you know, whatever. And then Proverbs are kind of like the positive spin on wisdom. Okay, so we are going to be starting a sermon series for the next 6 weeks on wisdom literature, 4 weeks in Proverbs, 2 weeks in Ecclesiastes. Although if I were to make it, I would put 4 weeks in Ecclesiastes because it's much better to be sad than happy. So, here we go. Proverbs, a place of wisdom, and what really does any of it have to do with me? That was all like a side note. Here is the real sermon. If you looked at my nightstand or inside my Kindle, you would find a number of books. Not as many as my dear friend Tom, but still more than Steve. So usually at any given time, I am reading 4 books. One is on theology, which is what you guys pay me to do, so I'm reading a book on theology. I'm reading a book on parenting. I'm reading a book on weight loss or exercise or healthy living. And of course, I'm reading a good romance novel. Any one of them will give me knowledge about something. Any one of them will clutter up my head with calories versus fiber, or with cardio versus weight training, or with timeouts versus natural consequences. But rarely does any book that I read make me wiser. Unless I actually effectively put into practice what I have read in said book, and that really never happens. Because wisdom really doesn't come from reading books and learning knowledge. Wisdom comes from experiencing the world around you, understanding what really matters, and then acting on those discoveries to make better the world around you. Let me say that again. Wisdom comes from experiencing the world, understanding what really matters, and then acting on those discoveries to make better the world around us. Who's with me so far? Ooh, more than first service. Good, I'm doing good. Which means when you read Proverbs, you are not going to read anything new. Those who are hot-tempered stir up strife, but those who are slow to anger calm contention. Obvious. The way of the lazy is overrun with thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. I heard that when I was 14 when my dad was trying to get me out of bed. And finally, the one all good parents use, Evelyn, pay attention, a wise child makes a glad mother, but the foolish despise their fathers. I did read that backwards, but I wanted it to work for me that time. It cannot get much more basic than that. Be kind, others will be kind to you. Get out of bed, and the road will rise to meet you. Be good to your parents, and they just might get you that brand new iPod that you've been wanting, or at least take you out to the movies, and if you're old enough, let you go on your own. It's kind of like the tried and true things you learn about in the world, just put into easy reader format. And it makes me really, really nervous. Because I hear, do good things and God will love you. Do not good things and ruin will follow in your path. And my Lutheran, saved by grace, not by works motto gets a little tested. Because I believe with my entire heart and soul, and those 66 books tell us so, being good does not save us. Jesus saves us. It is all about God. It is all about God coming to this world because we keep rolling our eyes and running away. It is all about God desiring more than anything in the whole world to be in relationship with us and will stop at nothing to make it so. It is absolutely all about God loving us first and foremost, about God claiming us. First and foremost, it is about God choosing us. We are beings clothed entirely in the gracious righteousness of a most loving God. That is a proverb to rely on. Now, Being this awesomely dressed child of God, I do indeed have a choice to make. I can choose to wait a really long time to act as one. I can wait until after I die to live in this life of salvation. I can wait until those heaven gates open wide, or whatever else is going to happen there, and live here as if the love of God doesn't make a difference. Or I can choose to live as the saved one that I am right now. I can choose to live my life built on the rock of Jesus. I can choose to listen to those not so new words and be calm and courageous and loving and kind. I can choose to live a life that centers not around what I can get out of it, but centered around the God who blesses me so that I can bless others, who loves me so that I can love, who frees me so that I can free someone else. And this kind of living takes a whole lot of practice. It takes a whole lot of wisdom. It takes a whole lot of time spent with others who are attempting to live exactly the same way. It takes practice to see our parents' authority as a garland around our neck instead of a leash. It takes practice to live in a world that tells us to buy more and consume more and to think of yourself more, when wisdom tells us to live lives fully connected to others. It takes practice to patiently wait for the foundation to set, when it would be so much easier to throw on a quick coat of paint and call it good. That's why you just can't worship God all alone in the woods by a tree. Because solid foundations can't be built by yourself. Wisdom cannot be practiced alone. Life cannot be lived alone. So maybe Proverbs isn't such a bad book after all. We might not learn anything new, but we can be reminded what living like a child of God looks like, what living together looks like, what living out our salvation right here, right now, looks like. We can be reminded that above all else, God is the rock on which we stand. And standing together, placing our trust in that God, we just might live lives full of wisdom after all. Amen.